everyone. Welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We are always available online at npr.org/Bryant Park. I'm Rachel Martin, in for Allison Stewart.
And I'm Mike Pesca, in for Luke Burbank. A village in Maine. A storm has hit and a thick mist has settled over the town. Actually, not settled. It seems like a more aggressive verb may be needed.
Something in the mist! Something in the mist!
Dan!
Took John Lee!
Dan, catch your breath.
Something in the mist took John Lee, and I could hear him screaming. Shut the doors! Shut the doors, my God!
Welcome to Frank Darabont's The Mist, based on the Stephen King novella. It's a horror film that makes you think, or maybe it's a thoughtful film that scares you to pieces. Director Frank Darabont might know. Hi, Frank.
Hey, hi, good morning.
So you're out of Stephen King's prison. Because
they do get trapped there.
What happens is, to explain, you directed two Stephen King films. They were both prison movies, Shawshank Redemption and The Green Mile. But this is sort of a return to your roots in terms of genre, right?
Oh, yeah, very, very much a return to roots. The earliest work that I'd been doing as a screenwriter when my writing career broke through was stuff like Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Tales from the Crypt episodes, remake of The Blob, for example. But it goes even further back than that, because I have always loved the genre. Not a lot of people know that about me, I guess, but based on the perception of Shawshank or Green Mile or Majestic, I just love the genre. I got posters all over my house, vintage posters.
Well, if I can
of those films that I grew up loving, and they were all
the monster movies and so forth.
All the monster movies, all the science fiction movies of the era.
I could see a through line. I think in The Majestic and The Green Mile and Shawshank, innocence is a big theme. And in a lot of horror films, it's always, you know, what's more horrible than the most innocent place, be it a house or, in the case of The Mist, a food store. You know, innocence is being threatened by some outside force.
Yes.
Psychology there. So do you think of this film, The Mist, do you think of it as a scary film, a way to use scares to delve into the psychological? Was it an either or? You wanted to do both things, right? To scare people and also to make them think.
Well, what I wanted to do was make a movie that really scared people. I wanted it to be a very human, scary, real situation within the context of this more fantastical element. Kind of just providing the context, the mist and the creatures outside in it being sort of the prison walls, if you will. but it's interesting. We've really gotten a sense of it from audiences, and the movie apparently has gotten to be a lot more intense and a lot more scary for them than even we had thought. And I think that's due to the reality factor, even though there are certain wacky elements,
right?
You know, certain things going on where you go, that's a creature
that doesn't happen. Giant tentacles with spikes. I've never actually seen that. But the thing is, you're always asking yourself, well, what would I be doing? Would I be leaving the place where they're all huddled together? Would I be hunkering down? Would I be leaving the place? And we should also note that if you're if you have a subscription to Fangoria, there's plenty of blood here. There's plenty of creepy, crawly things. It's not one of these only psychological movies like the classic Twilight Zone episode, The Monsters on Mulberry Street, where the crowd just works itself into a frenzy over nothing. I mean, the crowd works itself into a frenzy, but it's over something.
It's over something. There are things out there, and they are dangerous for sure. But the question is, are they more dangerous or less dangerous than the people you're cramped in the market with? That's really the interesting trick to the story that Steve wrote, which is why I loved his story so much.
Which is, whenever I watch a movie like this, there's always one character, and I would be this guy. It's the guy who says, there's no such things as zombies, there's no such things as ghosts. And oftentimes in a worse movie than yours, it'll be like, there's no such things as zombies. and then it'll stop because a zombie has just decapitated him. So in this, you have Andre Bauer.
Yes, good old Andre, and he did it better than that.
All right, we got a clip of Andre, great actor from Homicide. Let's hear him in the middle.
I'm shocked. It's pretty tasteless using what's happening here to try to make me look like an idiot.
No, that's not what's going on here. Look, I gotta come back to the loafing deck, okay? I'll show you blood, a chunk of tentacle on the floor.
No.
No, what do you mean, no?
No, we got real problems to deal with here, and this pathetic attempt at a joke has gone far enough.
Was the skeptic character, was that a convention of the form that you had to hit? I mean, he was in the novella also, or what drew you to putting that character in the movie?
Well, it was he was definitely a character in the book. He became a bit more refined.
Mm-hmm.
When Andre came in and took that role over, he became a bit more refined, I think, and actually a bit smarter even.
Yeah.
What a wonderful thing if you're going to be doing social commentary, dare we say. Under the surface, the metaphor of the movie, if we're going to do some social commentary, how about dealing with the ultra-rationalists who can't be dissuaded by compassion, reason,
And speaking of social commentary...
Real logic.
Yeah. Speaking of the social commentary, I want to play another clip from the movie. This is, I think we're going to play it here from a discussion that some of the people who are being attacked have about what they can be doing to get themselves out of this.
You don't have much faith in humanity, do you?
None whatsoever.
I can't accept that. People are basically good, decent. My God, David, we're a civilized society.
Sure, as long as the machines are working and you can dial 911, but you take those things away, you throw people in the dark, you scare the out of them. No more rules. You'll see how primitive they get.
Now, this is what I referenced the Twilight Zone and that famous episode, The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street, where a scared town turns on each other. And Serling's closing narration says, "The tools of conquest do not necessarily come with bombs and explosions and fallout. There are weapons that are simply thoughts, attitudes, prejudices, to be found only in the minds of men."
Mm.
I thought of that. Was Twilight Zone a big influence on you?
Twilight Zone? Oh, yes. Oh, good heavens, yes. That episode, which was, Claude Aiken starred
yes.
that one, I believe?
Yes, Claude Aiken.
And Jack Weston, I think.
Yeah, it was 1960. Jack Weston plays Charlie, yeah.
I loved the Twilight Zone. It was a huge influence on me, I think, as I get older now, I'm beginning to realize that it was a huge influence on me from terms of instilling writers' values, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not so much about, hey, you got to have a twist ending or any of that. It's just the fact that genre can be so marvelously and intelligently subversive. The genre, whether it's science fiction or horror, can be about so many more things than it's about on the surface.
Does that
make sense?
Yep, but if on the surface you got giant insects attacking you, that's a fun ride too. Frank Darabont, director.
Exactly.
Yes, Frank Darabont is the director of The Mist. It's in theaters now. Thanks for joining us, Frank.
Thank you.